The reading today is 1 Corinthians 1, 10-18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement that there is no division among us, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Cleo's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gallus, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anybody else, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. That ends the reading.
This may surprise you a little bit, but I've had some incredibly stupid arguments in my life. Yeah, I hear the gasps. I hear the shock with the kids. Yeah. After I tell them just once, right, to do something. Right, I can tell you I've had some really stupid arguments. In fact, the stupidest argument I think I've ever had in my life has been with Carol. All right, now, I didn't tell her that I was going to talk about this morning, but who wants to feel good about their marriage? Because get ready, I've got a story for you that'll make you feel good happy anniversary. All right, so listen closely. When Carol and I were first married, we bought a little house in Rossford, a little story and a half, and it's inside of that house that we designed our very first budget ever, right, where we're going to limit what it is that we're going to spend. It took a little bit of discipline, but we decided that we are going to give an allotment of $100 each per month that we could spend, right? Now, everything else had to go through the budget, right? So we decided we were going to march forward in discipline. Well, I should say I marched forward in discipline. Because one day, I came home after work, and I walked up on our front porch, and I looked down, and what did I find? Somebody had purchased, I know how you feel, somebody had purchased a brand new shoe mat. My wife, who I made vows to, had gone out and purchased a brand new shoe mat. And did she use her $100? No, she didn't. Now, I know that the former mat that we had, right, the one that the owners that were in the house before us just happened to leave behind, I don't know how, was a faded magenta and pink mat that had mud stains on it, but that is no excuse to break the budget. She embezzled money out of our budget, right, to buy this mat. And so the new mat said welcome on it. And so I felt very welcome to march into the house and start a fight with my wife over a stupid mat, right? Stupid arguments, right? And I look at this passage, and I think to myself of all the stupid arguments to have. Who you were baptized by? Who you were baptized by? This is the argument that the church wanted to have? I think to myself, couldn't they have come up with something else? You know how many people call me up and just ask whether or not they were even baptized? Let alone be concerned about who they were baptized by, and yet the church in Corinth was fighting about it. Which was a big shame, because this was an absolutely glorious church. Listen to what Paul has to say about the church in Corinth. He says, "I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. For you were made rich in every way in him, in all your speech and in every kind of knowledge, just as the testimony about Christ has been confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." Rich in every way. And believe it or not, I believe it was because they were rich in every way, and because they were rich in all forms of speech and all forms of knowledge, that they were actually having this conflict. I believe that the Corinthians were fighting about which good thing was better. And here's what I mean by that. They were blessed with a diversity in speech and a diversity in knowledge. There were people who were won by a man named Apollos, and he won them using his methods. There were people who were won by Peter or Cephas, and they were won by Peter's methods. There were some who were won by Paul, and Paul was using his methods, and it was by those people that they were baptized. Then three parties formed, each with their own leaders, each with their own styles. And this is indicated throughout this passage and also throughout other scripture. Apollos, I like this guy. Doesn't that sound like a strong name? Sounds like a bodybuilder, doesn't it? Apollos. Didn't he fight Rocky? Right? Apollo, he died, didn't he? Okay, well, no, yes. No, who knows? Right? Strong. This guy is described as being a strong debater, somebody who is eloquent in speech, who could win people over. Then there's Cephas, Peter. We know what Peter is like. He's passionate. In fact, he's so passionate that he would say things where he'd often end up putting his foot right in his mouth. All the way through the Gospels. And finally, Paul. Paul doesn't even want a party. He sets himself apart from Apollo in this passage saying, "I did not preach the gospel with clever speech." In other words, he likes to keep it simple and straightforward. We have the party of clever speech. We have the party of passion and the party of simple and clear. And they were fighting about which way was best. And what's amazing to me is that nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Why do I say that? Because there are times where we might look at a church, another church out there, and say, boy, they are just so loud. They are just so excitable. They've got so much passion. I wonder if they're actually even hearing the pastor preach because they're being so loud. You know what that is? It's people taking a look at him and saying, you know what? I don't know if that's the way. They're a whole heck of a lot like Peter. There are some people who go to church and they say, well, the message is just too simple. It's a seeker's church. Right? You've heard that term before. People who are seeking God can go to this church and then they get the message straightforward and simplistically, but it's not for me. And then there are others, other churches that you can go to and you can listen to the pastor preach and it's so high level you think you have to sit there with a dictionary in one hand and a thesaurus in the other. That would be like the church of Apollo. And you get the sense that what's happening inside of this church of Corinth is that the people who were won by Apollo were saying, look, this is the way to preach the gospel. Eloquently, like a Greek would, in debate. Then the people won by Peter, you know what, we need more passion. We need more heart. The people won by Paul, we need to keep it simple. They weren't dividing over the truth, they were dividing over the methods of delivery. Instead of looking at all that diversity in speech and diversity in knowledge and celebrating its richness, They were actually using it to divide one another and fighting over which way was best. On the front end, when I saw or read this passage and it said that they were divided over who baptized them, I thought, boy, this is ridiculous. But when you think about it, how in love are you with the ways that God won your heart? How in love are you with the ways God won your heart? And if that differs from somebody else, man, that's tough. They were fighting over the path by which they found salvation. How precious is that to each person? They were fighting over the message that won their hearts. It's as if they were arguing over the welcome mat to the house of God. I couldn't believe the illustration worked that well either. I actually put a little smiley face. It's as if they were arguing over the welcome mat to the house of God. Some thought magenta pink was perfect. Others would rather just leave that behind, and yet some would like something more elegant with a beautiful word, welcome. And a fight ensued. We have our own voices here. We do. And those voices are diverse. We've all been won differently. We've all fallen in love with the way that our hearts have been won by God and the way that God has done his work in us. And if you come to just one administrative board meeting at some point, you can look around that table and it'll only take you 3 minutes to realize how different everybody is there. And when I look at that, I step back and I think, look at the rich blessings we have in this church in diversity. How we've been richly blessed in knowledge and in speech. The mistake that we make, or that we can make, is if we ever say, this method right here is the right method. This one right here beats all other methods. The minute we do that, we take our eyes off the gift and create conflict instead. We need logicians. We need the Apollos. We need people who can tell stories that are so powerful that despite our own wills, tears start flowing down the sides of our cheeks. We need our Peters. We need people who can proclaim the gospel in simple, straightforward terms. We need our Pauls. And if we do it right, when one of us misses the mark with somebody, the other will hit it. And we live in times where we need all hands on deck, period. I have to tell you, I am, I don't know if this is right for me to do as a pastor, but I'm going to gloat on you all for a little while. I don't know if this is pride, so bear with me. But I am proud of our church. There are still churches that are out there in the middle of worship wars. What I mean by worship wars is that there are some where hymns resonate with them. There are others where praise and worship resonates with them. And so they fight over the style of worship. And what does that do? It creates division. Both of them welcoming mats to connect with God, just different for different people. And what does our church do? After Brad gets done playing something a little bit more jazzy than I've ever heard in my life, where is Brad? Yeah, right? Somebody said, nice! Right? I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's just incredible. May not be for everybody. It's for somebody. And for the people who may have minded it a little bit, they may just say, you know what? That's his welcome mat. And that's his method. The pastoral team, I hope you miss me when I'm gone. I hope you enjoy the diversity more. That when you hear Mike or you hear Scott or you hear JT, that they bring something that is a different method, a different welcoming mat. And that you can celebrate that gift. There are churches out there split between whether they should be doing missions or evangelism, to which I respond, how in the world can you separate the two? They need each other, different welcoming mats. to the house of God. Chimney swifts. Chimney swifts. If you guys are paying attention to what's happening here at the church, we're getting a new roof, right? Which means we have to take down our chimneys. Guess what? Chimney swifts live in those chimneys. They do. They're, I guess, an endangered bird up in Canada, not so much here, but even so, they eat mosquitoes, so God bless them, man. You know, amen, Jim. Jim Parker, yeah, I know he doesn't like his mosquitoes, right? See, here's the thing. If we take down those chimneys, we're going to lose some birds. We got to take down those chimneys to protect our church, right? Ryan Smith is the head of our trustees. The Smith family pays real money to dress up like bushes so they can shoot birds out of the sky. This is true. It's on Facebook, so I can say it in a sermon without asking for permission. It's not like we were in counseling one day and Ryan's like, I feel real bad about this. No. They pay for this. Helen loves the birds. Guess who she has to work with to work this out? Mr. Camouflage. Right? And you know what? We are working it out. And man, I am proud about it. I'm sorry, this isn't my sermon. Ryan was talking about these birds, and he referred to them in ounces during a meeting. I thought, yeah, you'd do that with ducks, wouldn't you? How many ounces did you get out of them? Just so different, right? So different. But for Helen, see, here's the thing. It's not about just saving the birds. For Helen, taking care of the environment, being a steward of the environment, is a way that she expresses her Christian faith. Ryan knows that. It's not just about the birds. Right? It's about stewardship. So what does it mean when Ryan and Helen and our church can work together to come up with a way where everybody works this thing out? It's where one method seems to be in conflict with the other one, and you take a look at it, and you step back, you say, you know what? That's your welcome mat. We're going to help you with that. This is our welcome mat. We're going to work with this, and we're going to get it done. Gifts. In diversity, in every kind of speech, in every kind of knowledge. I know how God has worked to draw me closer to Him, and I have fallen in love with that method. You will probably hear that method as a common theme or process, if you will, throughout each sermon that I give. It's how God has won me. I believe that in your hearts, you are thankful for the way that God has won you. We will all have different welcoming mats, but let us never get to the place where we take a look at one and say, mine's better than yours. This method is better than that method. And while we strike the other methods away from our lives, what we will find is that we are not as rich. We're not as blessed. So my prayer is that we can continue to be the church that we have been, that we can lay out each of our welcome mats, invest in it, each individually, and live in such a way where all hands are on deck. We don't discourage one another, but we reach every person, every diverse person that comes into this place with each one of those message, or each one of those methods, maintaining the same message. And that message is, we follow Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the many examples that you have shown me in this church where people lay out their own welcoming mats, where they fall in love with the way that you have drawn them closer to you, and they try to use those same methods to reach others. Lord, help us to continually enhance each one of those methods. Help us not to lord one method over another, but rather enhance it all so that we can reach all the diverse people we have in our community and in the world around us. Bless us in those endeavors, we pray. Amen.